Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back a rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Hey guys, gals, and non-binary pals, this is Southpaws episode 458, The Dow Jonestown Massacre. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
And we are once again podcasting from our respective homes as we enter week two of quarantine. Quarantine 2020, as I've seen people just like these, the corn emoji, quarantine.
Yeah, apparently that's a Zoomer thing that started doing that. It's kind of cute.
Yeah. So, yeah, let me tell you guys, last night was weird. So, 2 a.m, I'm in bed, because I went to bed at a reasonable hour last night, because my sleep schedule is getting more and more fucked as my schedule disrupted and goes worse. So it's like, oh, I was going to bed at like 3 a.m, waking up at 11, and Panther's like, yeah, whatever, but we both recognize that it's not a great idea to have that kind of sleep schedule. And so I doubled up on my CBD gummies and took a melatonin and knocked my ass out at 10 o'clock. But at 2 a.m, Adam starts getting agitated. He's bark, bark, bark. He does his little like nervous barks. Yeah. And then I start hearing just major loud barking from outside. And I'm like, oh, God, what's going on? So I get up, grab Adam, drag him out of the bedroom, and get him to hush because he's barking at the door. I'm like, come on, you're gonna wake Panther up. Don't do that. So I'm going investigating. I get my shoes on. Finally decide I got to go outside and check out what this is because this is nuts. There were two stray dogs. One of them was a silver pibby, and the other one was just a similarly sized mutt. And they'd managed to corner not one, but two possums, literally right outside my apartment. So I go out there with the doorknob cane, and I'm trying to shoo them off. I shoo them away from one of them, and they decide to leave that one alone because it's harder to get to. But for like 30 minutes, I'm trying to drive off these two dogs and try to encourage this fucking possum to mosey on because it was like leaning up, like pressed up against the wall, full, you know, scream at own ass, mouth gape, growling. Those things can growl. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get the dogs out of the way so they don't get bit, get the possum out of the way so it doesn't get bit, get me so I don't get bit by either one of them. Though both these dogs were people's pets, they, like, came right up to me and were like, oh, hey, are you here for the possum, too? And, like, at one point, the pibby was, like, rubbing up against my leg and rolled over onto my feet, like, well, you're not going to let me eat the possum. You're going to pet me, okay? And I was like, pat, pat, sure, whatever. But eventually they fucked off, but it was, like, 4 a.m. before I got to go back to bed. And then I woke up at, like, 10:30. So last night was exciting. And it woke up a bunch of my neighbors, and yeah, that was my excitement last night. There was two possums and two dogs, and it was very loud because it got Adam riled up. It got all the neighbor dogs riled up because it was just loud as hell.
Aww.
But yeah, possums are very lots of teeth. So yeah. That was my excitement last night. How are you guys doing?
No possums.
Well, that's good.
No possum.
And I have no idea what day it is.
Yeah, like the fact that it was Thursday has kind of snuck up on everybody here.
Pretty much, yeah.
Just the days kind of blend together as where nobody's leaving the house. I haven't left my house in my car for 3-4 days now. Like I went to the grocery store Monday around noon and I haven't left the house in my car since.
Hmm. It's been almost 2 weeks for me. I haven't gone out at all.
Oh my God.
Like
I went out on Tuesday night was the night where I completely fucked up my sleep schedule. So around like it was actually Wednesday morning, around like 4 a.m, I went out to bring for planet orders to the post office. And of course, nobody was really on the road at that time, and the post office was completely abandoned, so I got to avoid any contact with anybody, which is good.
But we're just surviving. It's like, keeping in contact with people via Telegram has been nice, at least. And, like, I've been keeping in touch with my parents and all that. Actually, why don't we start talking, like, with the title of this episode, why we call it the Dow Jonestown Massacre. Like, our Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is a goddamn embarrassment. Like, he's a worse...
No shit.
Like, one of the worst politicians on the fucking planet. He's just an absolute total garbage heap. And he was on national news saying that old people should be proud to die for their grandchildren so that they'll have an economy to come back to. And I'm like, well, that's shitty. And then you got Donald Trump saying, well, we need to reopen the economy and everybody should go back to normal on Easter. And it'll be an American resurrection, which is a really fucked up thing to do. He's trying to do the symbology thing, tying the government to religion, which is always super bad, leads to fascism. Not that we're already there. And so getting people to go to church on Easter and encourage everybody to get together, like, I called my mom and was like, you are absolutely forbidden to go to church. You cannot. You don't. They're like, oh, we're not going to. And the other night, I think when Dan Patrick was talking his, my mom texted me at like 10 o'clock at night, are you awake? And I'm like, oh, better call. Because anytime my mom's like texting me like that, oh, serious business.
Yeah.
Like, USA, USA, USA is currently trending because we're number one. We're number one in terms of absolute cases of coronavirus.
The other, like Trump literally said he wanted people to pack the churches. Like, let's make this as bad as possible, basically. And it's like, ugh. And, I mean, like, apparently he has, I read an interesting article the other day that was talking about basically what they thought the game plan was for the election was that, you know, they'll say shit like, you know, pack the churches, you know, they push the idea that currently more blue states have cases than red states because, like, all the biggest cities are in the blue states. But it is going to get to the red states and it's going to start spreading through rural areas who don't have the infrastructure and a number of hospitals and all that. So that by the time November rolls around and all the red states are really suffering, they're going to turn around and be like, you caught this virus from those blue state elites and just sow the divide even deeper. And that's how he's going to try to, like, use coronavirus for him instead of, you know, where right now it's hurting him.
I mean, and that's... sounds exactly right, because, you know, nothing we say is really that outlandish at this point, because it's like, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah,
we've been treated to so many ridiculous bullshit statements, and, you know, it's like, what's the evil, the most evil, most dumb thing that can happen, and that will probably be the outcome, right?
Sarah was saying that he was actually screwing over New York and California.
Yeah.
He's not releasing...
He's still pissed about the sanctuary cities thing.
Like, he's intentionally leaving Washington, California, and New York off just dangling in the wind because he's a petty child. He needs to be parodied in Central Park. And the thing is, like, it's not that the cases... The only reason the cases are higher in these large cities, they have more resources to do more tests. That shit's still going wild here in Texas. It's still going to go wild in Mississippi. Like, the state of Mississippi governor was refusing to shut anything down there. And, like, they're directly trying to posit this as, like, oh, this is just all overblown. And, well, we've seen a lot of evangelical Christians do this, which, you know, somebody today won stupid prizes for it, where... You know, they're refusing to not hold their church services. They're not wanting to do online streaming. They're wanting to gather people together. And, like, certain Mormons have done it. Certain evangelical groups have done it. There was one in, I think, New Orleans that had, like, an 1,800-person church gathering here this last Sunday.
Was it you, Fuzz, that talked about the Detroit police captain?
I'm not sure.
Detroit police captain died from coronavirus.
No, I hadn't. I don't think I heard.
And he's the second member of the DPD that died. Oh. And that's from Fox to Detroit.
Jeez, no, I hadn't heard that. I have seen a couple of news reports of various nurses and head nurses that have died because they've been in working in these majorly crowded hospitals.
Yeah, there was one of the guys at Mount Sinai in New York City who died like today.
Yeah, but I was reading some reports from some of the doctors and nurses up there are putting out tweets saying that like people who are sick are waiting 7 hours in the emergency room to see a doctor. Somebody basically fucking died in the emergency room because they had symptoms, they had coronavirus, and they didn't get through the line fast enough for their life to be saved.
For probably breath treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just, it's fucking ridiculous. And, you know, I've seen other people saying what I'd said. I don't know if I mentioned this on the show or not, but I was talking to someone about how in World War II, you know, by order of the federal government, all the car companies stopped making cars and they started making like tanks and guns and equipment to fund the war effort. And like that law is still in place. And I've seen people say the smart thing to do would be for the president to enact that law and have manufacturers turn over capability into making more masks and respirators and things like that, and anything to combat this.
But that would mean government taking control of business, and, well, that's not going to fly with the current regime in place. You know, this whole nonsense, like they're trying to give Gilead the exclusive rights to make a vaccine,
which God, they can then
back up. And I'm just like, yo, China, you need to get on this shit, and I don't care if motherfuckers say, oh, we've got the rights. They're going to make it. They're going to distribute it. And they're going to say, the fuck you going to do? And that's their right, and it's as they should. Because, like, Gilead being able to make billions of dollars on the backs of this, like, every single one of their CEOs and leadership should be, you know, parodied in Central Park. Because
what does that mean?
Instead of being, you know, the Central Park meme, guillotine in Central Park. You know,
I've heard the guillotine, but I haven't heard of Central Park.
Oh, God. This goes back a little bit before Chris Matthews rage quit after being told he's a little bitch. That he was like, well, if the Russians had won the Cold War, I'd have been one of the people executed in Central Park, which shows a massive ego. And basically, you know, the joke, you know, time to Central Park 'em is a direct reference to that. And then say parody, as opposed, you know, when you're saying, you know, actually these people should be, you know, have their heads cut off and their businesses destroyed. You go, no, they should just be parody, satired, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's language obfuscation in the same vein of like, it's language obfuscation that people who know what it is, and other people are like, what the fuck are you saying? Because, yeah, it's.
Yeah.
Real bad.
Which, my apologies, I did not know what you were saying.
No, that's fine. I don't have a problem explaining it either because, well, it's just the internet. So, shit's bad. We all know this. So, why don't we talk about the things that are helping us through this difficult-ass time? Like, what have you guys been consuming or doing to help get your mind off the hell world we live in?
Been playing WoW, reading books.
Season finale of Picard dropped last night, so I watched that today.
Apparently the new short movie from Altered Carbon came out. That's on my to-do list for tomorrow.
Oh, I haven't watched that yet. I've seen season two of the show, but yeah, they put out like an anime-style movie for Altered Carbon.
I haven't seen that. Resleeved is what I haven't seen. I heard about the anime one, but I haven't seen it yet.
I thought Resleeved was the anime one.
It might be. I need to see what's out there.
Yeah, so it's just like, I think it's like a prequel animation or something like that. But it looks pretty cool. It has a neat style to it.
Yeah, it is cool that Netflix is teaming up with anime companies to do stuff like that. Because they also, like, but also getting, like, what was it? Blade Runner 27, Blackout 2029 or whatever, that animated short.
Oh, okay.
That cool. was like a prequel to the movie. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Is that on Netflix now?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because, like, the original company that produced Blade Runner put all those on YouTube before the film came out as advertising, and there was, like, three of them.
Yeah, I think that's where I saw it. Because I know you and I watched that, didn't we, Fuzz?
Yeah.
Prior to us watching Blade Runner, which I had never seen at the time.
Yeah. I read an article on about Netflix recently. Well, it wasn't about Netflix. It was just about the how this quarantine is affecting everybody. And, like, of course, Netflix and other streaming services have seen a massive rise in usage because everyone is staying at home, which that's not unexpected. I think in Italy they were actually asked to, like, cap some of their data rates or something like that because Netflix was using so much bandwidth. But what the guy that worked for Netflix was saying was that, yeah, for like the next 6 months or so, we've got all this new content ready to go that we'll be rolling out. But the problem is after that, because right now all the stuff that we were working on to release in late 2020 and into 2021 is being held up because all the people at the production companies are all in quarantine areas, and, like, you know, they could do some writing and stuff like that, stuff that you can maybe do at home or do over teleconference, but, like, actors on site somewhere shooting scenes, I mean, that's not really happening right now. So they're going to have an issue, like, later in the year where, like, a lot of the stuff that they planned to release at that point is not going to be ready.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to have some interesting long-term effects on, like, entertainment and media because, well, I mean, if you're not getting together to do shoots or you can't get permits to shoot on location for live-action shows, you're pretty limited. So, yeah, there's going to be a gap. I wonder if it'll be similar in scope to the writer's strike, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Where you just miss a season of shit. I mean, this is obviously a very minor impact of the current epidemic.
Oh, but yeah.
Still, like, when it comes down to it, that's going to be one of those things that people really haven't thought about. It's like, yeah, we've got so much in the can right now, but, like, consider all the movies that are getting delayed to, like, next year whatever.
I'd still say it's a more important issue than people can't get their nails done.
That's true.
Did you see that tweet?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Shiva, you've explained it to Savern.
I've seen a couple of variants. I'm not sure about the exact one, but I've seen a couple about, you know, hey, people are going to come out of quarantine ugly as fuck because no nails, no hair, no eyebrows, whatever.
So... what I was specifically referencing was on a news show, there were like three panelists and they were satelliting in because social distancing. And the woman in the middle was talking about how, you know, all the hair salons and stuff were closed right now. And there were how, like, our roots are going to start showing and people are going to all know what our natural hair color is, and, like, yeah, it's not a major concern, it's a minor concern, but we can't get our nails done right now. And of course people were dragging her on Twitter being like, for fuck's sake, you know, like their concern's so minor that they're not even worth mentioning, you know. But
yeah, I mean, at this point you'll just have to, this will probably result in some shift in It might make people dial back their personal vanity some, because it's like, yeah, you're not going to really see other people for a couple months, and that's just going to be how it is. So perhaps you'll chill out a little bit, you know?
You'll look like a normal human being.
I shaved the other day because my facial hair was bugging me, because it happens. Mm-hmm. I don't shave for like 3 days. And then I thought later, I was like, maybe I shouldn't have shaved. Maybe I should start growing a quarantine beard.
Oh, no.
That's what Sarah is doing. He is scruffy as fuck.
Oh, is he really?
Oh, God, he is super scruffy.
Oh, I hope he does like a teleconference for his work or something and get the beard. And there was a tweet going around for a guy was like, I have a green t-shirt and a green screen, so all my coworkers have to put up with my bullshit. And he'd set it up so that it looked like his head was sitting on the platter of a microwave.
Nice. Panther and I have been watching Fargo, which is the FX, like, black, pitch black comedy show. It's kind of based around the movie. That's been good. We've watched a couple of movies together. We watched the most recent Total Recall remake, was really interesting.
I actually really quite liked it.
I thought it was really cool because, I mean, if it hadn't been titled Total Recall, people would have cared a lot less because it's completely different. Like, yeah. And even this movie is a completely different take than the like original story. I mean, they did include the 2 weeks thing. They included the three-breasted woman. I mean,
sure. I like that they threw those references in there as sort of a callback to the movie.
Yeah. But as a sci-fi action movie, that was cool as hell. I liked it.
Yeah, it was very well executed.
It was like $5 on iTunes, and so Panther got it, as many movies we do, because like we watched Terminator Dark Fate last week, mm-hmm. and that was all right, though. I'm not a huge fan of the series, but Panther is. So, you know, sacrifices. Fuzz, you and I, we watched through all of Beastars, and you've watched all of it, right, Shiva?
Yep, I have, and even Dave at... Actually, I caught him watching it finally.
Yeah, so
I now have all 5 volumes of the manga available on forplanet.com.
Oh, nice. I only have the 4 because, well, I got 4 at the Kinokuniya Books before the quarantine set in. But I could probably
get 5 just came out like last week, I think. It came out on the 20th or something.
Okay. Well, none of us have really been out to the stores, right? So that's cool. Yeah, it's interesting because the way the show remixes the volumes. Because, like, the first episode is most of Volume 1, but still shifts some things around, like, or Haru's motivations and whatever. But yeah, like, you and I, Fuzz, we watched that with Ajax in, like, a single night.
Yeah.
Watched all of it in one go the day it came out.
Did furry on hard mode.
Yep. I really enjoyed it. I mean, obviously, you would expect us to enjoy it, but it's really cool to see proper anthro characters in anime and not have like the weird dimorphism where it's like big beastly men and then like the girls are like humans with animal ears pasted on.
Yeah,
so that's been
fun. Yeah, that is really nice.
And since it's on Netflix now, and like I really like the English dub too, it was, I found the voices very fitting, and like Haru sounding like she's just fucking done with everything is really fitting. I really enjoyed the whole thing, and like it does get uncomfortable because it gets into the seedier aspects of the world, especially in the last couple episodes with the Yakuza. I mean, it does kind of have a fleshed out world. It does kind of cover some of the aspects of a furry world that don't often get brought up in like world buildings, like. And even has that one cute aside about the eggs.
That was cute.
The hen who does her best to do her eggs to make sure the eggs he produces are the highest quality. And what's funny is that the hen is basically the stand-in. It's part Itagaki's persona, essentially. So it's about her and making sure that people are enjoying her content. The stuff that she produces. So that's really fun. The other thing... Yeah. Brand New Animal, the Studio Trigger anime, has put the first 6 episodes out on Japanese Netflix, so immediately, of course, it's been pirated and put up online in places where you go sail the high seas. I've downloaded it because fuck waiting for it to hit the US in 2021. Watched the first 2 episodes, and it is surprisingly dark. So Studio Trigger has done Anthro characters in the past, but this is, like, their furry designs are extremely furry. And there's, like, cameos. Like, there's a Nick and Judy cameo. There's, like, a Haru cameo in the background. Where they just...
Really?
They draw recognizable characters in the background. They love making references. Like, back when they were doing Little Witch Academia, there were a couple of background references. Like, the main character has a My Little Pony figure in one... like, in her dorm room. And the primary illustrator, I think Yo-Yo Shinari is the guy's name, did fan art of MLP way back when that was still a major thing. And so they like doing their references. But the first episode is... it starts out kind of dark, and then the second episode gets really dark. It's like, man, I did not expect this. So the general gist is that in 10 years ago, beastmen started appearing, and they got their own city. And so it's called Anima City. And
it's not called Zootopia?
No. And in this particular case, like, it opens up with the main character, whose name escapes me at the moment because they mention it literally like twice. Like, they don't even say the character's names in the first episode because it's just establishing stuff. Where, like, she's sneaking her way to get to Anima City and is beset by people intent on murdering her because she's a furry. And she's rescued and gets into the city.
So she's being chased by a bunch of anime avatars from Twitter, I guess.
Yeah. And they are trying to get her. She gets rescued by a skeevy mink named Mina. Mina the mink, who gets very mad if you call her a weasel. And, you know, going to the city, turns out there's some terrorism afoot. The mayor of the city is getting threatened by the government. It's like, hey, if your people start getting rowdy, we might have to step in and put an end to any unrest, which basically just means oppression. And, like, the second episode features, like, this down and out, basically. But basically,
she's... A madame?
A madame, yeah, sure. Turns out she's selling orphans back into the human world for nefarious purposes. And so, like, even though she's claiming that she's trying to help the children, turns out she's trying to sell them off. And the kids are rescued in the end. But, like, it shows that even this furry world is really dark and kind of gnarly. And it's like, wow, that did not expect this to go in this direction so quickly. But the character designs are very furry. There's representation from a lot of different species. Like, the mayor of the city is a sphinx cat, and her assistant is a pangolin. The main characters are a white wolf, and the main girl is a tanuki, who's like, I was a human until a year ago. And so, you know, she's a tanuki with tanuki powers, though it's her fluffy tail and not giant testicles.
I was wondering.
So
they're humans that turn into furries permanently?
Yeah, or they can shift forms. Because, like, I dropped a few images into the fan chat of basically the characters squaring off. And, like, they transform from their human form to their beast form. And, like, in their city, like, everybody chills out in their human form. And if they shift to their animal form, that indicates that they want to fight. So you've got, like, the lioness character.
You were going to say fuck.
Well, in our furry version, in the fan art version, sure. But in this particular case, it's all bravado and assholery. Because there's, like, the lioness and the hyena guy are going to fight. And then the Yakuza boss steps in to stop it. But it's interesting because they don't do, like, they show a broad range of character body types. So, like, the lioness character is this fit-looking lady that then transforms into a fit lioness. And so it's not like, oh, all twiggy, big-titty women and muscle dudes. It's a variety of body types, which is, again, nice to see.
That's good.
But it'll get over here in an eternity, I'm sure. But it's one of those where Netflix worked with Studio Trigger to do this. So it'll be on Netflix Japan first and then come out to the U.S. on Netflix probably in 2021. But that's been one that I'd been talking about for a little while, and it's like, all right, I'm going to actually pirate this because I don't feel like waiting. And yeah, So far, it's pretty interesting. Like, it's very pretty. Like, Trigger does really good action scenes and good backgrounds. Though it remains to be seen what I think of the entirety of the first half of the series that they're putting out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the first two are like, wow, this is a really dark world if you're a furry slash beast man. Because, like, mm-hmm. everybody on the outside wants to kill you, and then on the inside there's people who will totally kill your ass and possibly sell your ass to humans for whatever nefarious purpose that is. And it's like, ugh. Very, it's a very dark side to a very shiny city, which, I mean, that's a setup for a good story.
Yeah.
But that was, that's my impression of it so far.
Sounds good. Sounds like I need to check it out.
Yeah, I mean,
I was looking in the fan chat for the stills. I haven't found them yet.
They were back at 5:37 p.m. And a little bit before that, there's the pink cow that's totally the cow from the cheese wheels.
Oh, yeah.
Selling Red Bull drinks. One of the other things that's pretty funny is they have the, like, furified versions of brands. So, like, Subway is Dogway and Burger King is Burger Kitty. Like, it's recognizable brand logos that have been transformed into furry things. So that's funny. But it's an interesting start to the city. I mean, Studio Trigger does just completely wild shows, so you never really know what you're going to get. They're generally good, but, like, you know, Kill la Kill was pretty controversial in its weird way. And then you had Gurren Lagann, which was technically Gainax, but also the same people that turned into Trigger. That one was really popular, but had a weird ending. And then you had Little Witch Academia, which is actually just, I would say, really good. I loved it. That one's got 26 episodes. Space Patrol Luluco was just quirky. And so, like, they have this really broad series of shows they've done, and so they vary in quality, but they're all generally very pretty. But that I watched a couple episodes today to make sure that I could talk about it on the show.
Sorry, I'm reading a screen cap from Tumblr. So somewhat, the initial post is, does no one realize that Robin Hood was a terrible role model for young kids? I mean, you're stealing from people, illegal, and those people usually work hard to get their wealth. It really demotivates people to succeed when they know they can get something someone else worked for. And one of the replies is, who knew the Sheriff of Nottingham had a blog?
Nice.
So one of the other responses, Aaron, is, tune in next week when I tell you the story of Ebenezer Scrooge, a benevolent job creator harassed during his sleeping hours by a hellish socialist dead.
So as it is Easter time in the video game world, we are coming up on Hatching Tide in Final Fantasy XIV, where you can get yourself a bunny fursuit. This year, they have added event items that are the bunny and dapper bunny, and then a fursuit head, which is a separate piece of gear. So that if you want to, you can make yourself a Lalafell, the little short race, slap on the bunny hat, and just pretend you're Judy Hopps. Or a Zootopia bunny, or a insert bunny of your choice, right? So that's going to be fun. And that joins...
What game is this?
Final Fantasy XIV.
Oh, okay.
And that joins Chocobo, Moogle, Pig, Bird, Turtle, Bug, and I think one other basically fursuit... Oh, frog costumes you can wear. So you can totally destroy the gravity of a given scene by showing up in fursuit to your epic battle against a terrible dragon that will destroy the world.
Yeah, I've seen a couple screen caps of that. It's pretty cool.
So that'll be fun. And I've been in the process of collecting all the basically costume fursuit pieces. So I will totally rock the bunny suit. I mean, right now my character runs around with the werewolf ears at all times because it gives the finnick ears when dyed. So... Mm-hmm. You know, instead of a cat girl, I'm a finnick girl. Very important distinction to make. Animal Crossing's doing an Easter thing coming up. You know, there's a thing in WoW that's Easter that's coming up. I mean, 'tis the season. And that's really the only way we're going to get to go do an egg roll or get Easter candy is in a video game right now. I mean, even Pokemon Go has made a lot of changes to make the game easier for people to do by themselves. They've, like, halved the hatch distance. They've halved... like doubled the XP for certain things, doubled the or tripled the dust for catches. They're doing daily bonuses are increased. They've tweaked gifts so that they give you more balls. So they're basically, if you can go and hit a Pokestop, you get more items out of it that make it easier to keep playing it without having to go out and about and hit a bunch of Pokestops. Because, like, right now, here in Dallas, we're supposed to shelter in place and not just fuck around and drive around, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I really should not go to Addison Circle to harvest Pokestops and get Pokeballs. But if I walk down to Operation Kindness or go across the way to the Pokestops there, I'll get, you know, a bunch of extra balls and stuff so I can keep playing the game. They also made it so that the event, the daily tasks don't include things that require you to be around other people. So, like, they've taken away all the battle in a raid things that would generally require you to have multiple people hanging out to do stuff. They took away the trade with a friend thing because that requires you to be in proximity to other people.
So that's good that they finally figured that out, because I remember, like, a couple weeks ago you were telling me Pokemon was still sending out, like, challenges and shit like that, and it's like, guys, we're not supposed to be going anywhere.
Yeah, and, like, they also have included, like, they're having weekly basically one coin bundles where if you pay one coin, you get, like, in this case, this week's 100 Pokeballs. Which normally 100 Pokeballs is like $5 if you just need to buy supplies. But like, no, like, here, get one Pokecoin that I'm sure you have, and you can get some more supplies so you can keep playing the game and hopefully keep giving them money in the long term. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, like, there's not a chance in hell for me to continue playing the game in a regular fashion and not eventually run out of supplies. So, like, they're trying to encourage people to continue doing things as best they can. The other thing they did also, they canceled all the community days going forward for now, but they made a thing where if you give them, again, one coin, they gave you, I think, 30 incense, and then they changed it so that when you use an incense, it lasts an hour, and it spawns a Pokemon every minute. So if it's not a Pokemon you want, wait a minute, and it changes. So that's cool. That lets you just sit at home and basically play Pokemon Roulette, where it's like, is it one you want? Nope, you don't gotta catch it. Wait a minute, it disappears, new one pops up, bada bing. It's nice. So, like, even games that they want you to go out and play are finding ways to, instead of Pokemon go to the polls, as Pokemon stay inside.
Mm-hmm. Pokemon go home and go to sleep.
Yeah. Pokemon go play with yourself. The other thing right now is Animal Crossing has come out, and it's a fun little game. Like, everybody's enjoying it. It's like, this coming out on the 20th was pretty much the perfect time for it to have done so. People are stuck at home and they want to live in their idyllic island life, and they can interact with their friends in the game. They can make their clothing designs. They can do all this fun shit, and they don't have to be in public. Mm-hmm. And it's been really cute because, like, people are recreating costumes from games and stuff. I've made hats. I've made shirts, designs. There's people that are painstakingly making, like, costume pieces from other games and whatnot. I saw somebody who made a Pornhub hat. I made the Bad Dragon logo on a t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
Because, of course. And so, like, it's a fun creative outlet for many, many people, and it's just a fun, pleasant little game because you can log in, do as much or as little as you want, because you're basically just living on the island. It's like, all right, wake up, I'm gonna go dig my fossils, go get my fossils so I can put more dinosaur bones in the museum, and go around, hit my rocks to pick up my iron ore for the day, and then maybe I'll go pick up some seashells on the seashore, talk to my neighbors. Welcome back, Shiva.
Savard's talking about Animal Crossing.
And then, like, I'll go fishing for a little bit and go and catch some fish. You know, make some money, put it in the ATM, go to pay off my home loan, as you do, and you don't have to do anything. It tells you, all right, if you want to progress, you need to do X, Y, and Z. Panther says hello. Mm. But, yes, Panther hungers. We'll be done with this before too long.
Did you not feed him first? You're not feeding your cat.
No. You can go and you can make sure you hit every tree and pick every flower and do all the stuff. Or you can just go around, talk to your people, rearrange your house. Like, there's not a pressure. This is not a game you should or can speedrun. Because, yes, you can time travel by, you know, skipping your clock forward. And that will eventually start having adverse effects because you need to interact with your villagers to keep them happy so that they stay in your town. Because if you don't, they'll eventually move out.
So it's a village full of Tamagotchis?
Kind of.
Or it's more like a Sim City.
Yeah, you gotta like talk to your people that live in your little village. Otherwise, they'll be like, "Eh, I don't feel like I'm valued here," and they'll leave. Like I've got three villagers in my city right now. Actually, four. I've got an elephant named Ajax or Axel, a frog named Puddles, a fawn named Fauna, and then a dog named Cherry, and then my house, and then like you go to various islands and there's a couple of wolves you can talk to. There's lots of characters in the game, but you have to encounter them on islands or talk to them in other villages to try to get them to come to yours. So like people are trying to like, oh, I want to have all birds on my island. And so like they're mean and jerks to the creature, to the people they don't want, and they try to get the birds to come to their island. There's a lot of different ways for people to play the game, but it's a very chill, relaxed game that you can set your own terms for, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
But yeah, it came out at just the right time. And like, I know a lot of people are really excited for Doom, but I haven't gotten it and don't plan to right now. But apparently that's a lot of fun too, so that's really good.
Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed seeing the various mashups, and I don't even know if it's like official advertising or fan stuff, where it's got a Isabel from Animal Crossing and whoever the person in Doom is, that they're like shooting zombies and shit together.
Mm-hmm. That's a really funny thing, because it's just the confluence. They came out on the same day, and so people decided to have fun with it. And like even like the producers of Animal Crossing thought it was really cute and funny that they were that, you know, Isabel was they people drawing fan art of Isabel hanging out with Doom Guy. And so, you know, there's the art where it's like Isabel comes in, it's like one copy of Doom Eternal, and then Doom Guy comes in behind her, this hulking
it's
monster.
One copy of Animal Crossing. Yeah. I remember that was really cute.
And so that's been fun to see because it's cute and harmless fan art. And I've seen, of course, I saw someone do porn of it where it's like Doom Guy and Isabel, of course, because of course the internet does that.
Oh, God.
But there's also those pictures of the GameStop stores that had like the Isabel standee holding a copy of Doom Eternal, like the Doom Guy holding a copy of Animal Crossing. As you do. So, Shiva, when does the Easter event start in WoW again? Because, yeah, like the Easter event in Final Fantasy is starting up here on the 30th? Yeah, 30th to the 13th.
Looks like on the 13th.
Really? Huh. Okay. So, because I was mentioning that in Final Fantasy they're adding a rabbit fursuit. Because, of course, why not?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
There was also this other thing that came up. The Finnish state-owned media, YLE, came up with 30 tips on how to enjoy life indoors. Or one of the tips says, develop your own fursona and become a fursuiter. That is, a maker of animal mascot costumes. So the Finns are now getting themselves some state-mandated fursonas.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm sure that Finland has lots of neat animals that they could draw upon. So there you go. You know, in your time of isolation, create yourself a fursona. It's a pro tip for anybody that doesn't already have one. And if you have one, make a second or a third. I mean, there's not a limit. There's not an inventory maximum of fursonas you can have or character concepts you can have.
The other neat thing that came out was the segment from Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, which was filmed at Furry Fiesta, and they also do some interviews and some other background info on the fandom. And it actually turned out to be really positive. And so I think they were somewhat surprised that like all the furries they spoke to were like supporting Bernie in the election. And so they brought up how we've basically, you know, gotten really good at getting rid of the fascists in our community. So it was basically like, hey, the furries are doing a good job. Let's try to be more like the furries.
Yeah, I happened to see that being filmed one the evening it happened and, like, just zipped on by in the background because I had shit to do. But yeah. I was like, oh, what's that? And we kind of found it after the fact because they were in town to film, like, the cheerleader competition that was, like, one
stop down. Super Tuesday.
Oh, Super Tuesday. So it's nice that it came out, like, it was – you publicized it from the official Fiesta account on Twitter. It's like, hey, if you want some good news in this time, check out this segment. So that's fun. It makes the con look good, and it makes the fandom look good. So that's a positive thing. Also, the fact that, you know, Fiesta was kind of the last fur con before all this kicked off. You know, I've seen tweets where it's like, I can't imagine the first fur con after all this, how wild it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. It will be so horny. One day interaction I had today was there's a Twitter account called Furry Cons that just tweets information about, here are the cons that are happening this weekend and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they had tweeted something maudlin like, remember when there was furry cons? and I replied, I can't believe Furry Fiesta was like less than a month ago because it feels like years. And then they replied to me with the GIF of the lady from Titanic with the, it's been 84 years. Laugh. Please clap.
Well, I mean, it's true. It feels like it was been so long ago. But yeah, that was at the not quite a month ago was Furry Fiesta. Jesus.
Yeah.
What is time anyway?
It's a hologram.
Yep.
So much has happened. I mean, it's just kind of...
Everything happens so much. On some good news...
There's good news?
There's a couple of cool things that are happening. Like Colorado did away with the death penalty, which is good. Because we're finding more often than not that a lot of convictions, especially things that have been in the system for a long-ass time, were just completely fraudulently done. And, like, we've had multiple states that are like, nope, we're just going to go through with it and completely execute innocent people. That's happened recently in Texas and in Alabama.
I was going to say, didn't that just – I didn't know it happened in two states. I thought it was just Alabama.
They're just like, we know that they're innocent or they didn't do the crime, but, eh, who the fuck cares? They're poor and black. And so they go through with it. And so, like, the death penalty is generally bullshit and disproportionately handled against black and poor people. And so it's a corrupt institution, much like most of our institutions, really. But Colorado has done away with it and commuted a number of people on death row to – I mean, it's life in prison. Like, these people are convicted criminals, but more often than not, in a lot of these death penalty cases, the evidence is not all there, or it was obtained under duress and all this other shit. So, I mean, there's are times where it's very obvious. Like, that dude that stabbed three people in rural Sam's, that's got a lot of evidence. That's a lot of, that's obvious. That's not in question. But, like, when it's, you know, some white lady gets murdered and they pick up this random black dude and declare that this guy did it, even though, like, the DNA isn't there, whatever, because it was, you know, 1970, and this guy's been in prison for fucking ever, you know. So, basically, death penalty's bullshit, and it's good on Colorado for doing that. Now, if Texas would ever get on that train, probably not. Like, we'd have to flip the entire state government for that to happen.
Texas will be the last, if that ever happens.
You know. They'll Texas will secede before they stop killing prisoners and or using them for slave labor.
I mean, there's arguably more conservative states than Texas, but Texas is absolutely the killingest state in the country when it comes to the death penalty.
Yep. So death penalty going away, that's good. Another cool thing, the company that does Plague Inc. has given $250,000 to fight COVID-19. They $250,000 donation was split between Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations and the World Health Organization's COVID-19 Solidarity Response Fund. They're like, hey, we made a game about plagues and shit, and people were, like, really playing this game a lot, so we're going to make some donations to, you know, in support of a real plague. And so that's one of those little, like, hey, look, a small developer did a good thing.
Well, that's great. That's good of them.
But there are people out there doing good shit. But man, like, it's real hard to find it sometimes. And yeah, like, being on Twitter and doom surfing is really bad for your mental health. Like, being on Twitter and it's alternating between like doom saying and anger, and then, hey, look, here's some cute porn, and then sadness, and oh, here's this person that died, and then sadness, and then furry porn. It's just not good for your mental health. Like, I would suggest, hey, maybe just focus on your lists. Like, I made an artist I follow list on Twitter that's just artists, and generally is just the content they produce. And so, like, that kind of steps away from my well-intentioned and well-meaning politically engaged friends, but sometimes it's a little much. And so, like, definitely, if you can, take breaks from ye olde internet and be less online by playing games that are online but not twitter.com. Like, that's really the best thing I can say is, like, please take breaks from Twitter. It's really bad for your mental health. We say this a lot, I know, but seriously, log off sometimes. Play a game, read a book, masturbate, fuck your partner, fuck your roommates. You know, as long as you're within close proximity, do not use Grindr to hook up with people. That's bad. And yeah, like, TransFee right now, we're number one and so much winning. And it's just people being like, hard sarcasm about the current situation. So what do you got, Shiva?
Not a lot. I mean, this week has just kind of gone. I don't even know where this week has gone. Last weekend didn't feel like it happened. And this week it's been like, today's Thursday, I guess.
Again, like, I saw it was Thursday because I looked at my watch and was like, oh, right. And that's just how it is. Because, you know, like, we're not going anywhere. So I do have a cool thing to add. Someone has made the COVID-19 anime survival kit, where it's just a big list of recommended anime that is generally pretty good. There's a couple of selections in this list that I would raise an eyebrow at, and certain of them are not widely available and will require you to pirate them. But, you know, recommendation of things like Toradora, Cowboy Bebop, My Hero Academia, Yuru Camp, K-On. There's lots of good shows on here that are widely available that, hey, if you're in the house, why don't you get yourself a VRV subscription or a Crunchyroll subscription or a Funimation subscription and watch yourself some Revolutionary Girl Utena or original Mobile Suit Gundam or My Hero Academia. You know, it's like there's lots of good stuff out there that's thankfully readily available. Like, I was talking earlier about, you know, Brand New Animal. It's not out yet, but Beastars is totally out. And a lot of these other things are readily available, and a lot of them are on Netflix. So you don't even have to have that much, like, multiple subscriptions.
You're damn right.
So I'll include a link to that in the show notes, because, hey, it's anime. It's generally okay.
Tastes great, less filling.
Do you have any wonderful things for the week?
Which one of us? Or either of us, I guess.
Either one of you?
I don't know.
Well, you've got a sale running, Fuzz.
Yeah. So we have we publish a variety of anthologies that they're one-time payouts. Like, we put up the upfront cost and then we sell the books to make the money back. So if I make a big sale on them, there's no authors losing money on that. It's just us not making a profit on it. So I dropped a ton of our anthologies, mostly like the Fang, Roar, and Claw series. With the exception of brand new ones that I made $2.99, I dropped all the other ones down to $1.99, plus all the ones edited by Fred Patton. And there's a few other ones. We have a couple other individual authors came forth and were like, hey, put my stuff on sale too. I'm like, okay, cool. So if you go to baddogbooks.com, there, you look on that little menu, you'll see a link that says on sale. And that'll take you to the list of all the things that are on sale, you know, including some relatively new things like Fang 10 and Reclamation Project. They just came out in December. Madison Scott Clary, who wrote Restless Town. Restless Town's on sale for $2. She has another book of short stories called Rum and Coke, and it's free. There's a number of free things on here now. Bunch of stuff for $1.99. Also, I think I mentioned last week, Kyle Gold put together a book of his writing advice columns called Do You Need Help? And that's also available for free. So if you need help, whether you're a furry writer or a non-furry writer, that's worth checking out. But yeah, we got a ton of stuff on sale for pretty rock bottom prices on Bad Dog Books. It's barely going to cover the cost of our processing fees for those transactions. But the point is, it's like, hey, people are stuck at home or they don't have shit to do if they're one of the folks unfortunate enough that their job went away or whatever. Then you need something to keep the cabin fever at bay. So here's some furry books. Fill in your collection, you know. Now you have a backlog. You have plenty of stuff to read, you know. Read and write reviews and find new authors whose work you enjoy. On that note, there's a lot of... keep an eye on Twitter, because there's a lot of furry authors and artists are posting out there that are like, hey, my day job went away, so I'm open for commissions, and you know, and I've got merch available at X store website or whatnot, and you know, they're kind of trying to make ends meet in the meantime until things turn around. So
it was kind of funny because I got a DM the other day from an artist who had my current artist B-Jams. They were doing Ko-Fi head sketches. You'd like gave them 10, 12 bucks or whatever, and they would do a headshot for you. And this was like back in October. They were like, hey, I need some money. So I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Threw some money their way. And then only just recently got the message back, and I'd completely forgotten about it, but it was a really cute picture. And they're back open because their job got eliminated. Like a lot of people I know, a lot of people in like the fan chat, they've already said that, yeah, like, they're on furlough. They're effectively laid off. You've got people stuck overseas because, like, they're not getting rotated out for their military placement. And so, like, there's a lot of people that are going to be needing help here in the near term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know.
Oh, my one cool thing. You guys saw Neil Gaiman, right?
I haven't seen anything about him recently. What did he do?
A couple things out on Twitter about basically giving teachers like blank permission to like read his books to their kids. And LeVar Burton was out there looking for, you know, hey, I want to do something, but it's a really big mess to try and find something to get rights. And Neil Gaiman says, hey, blanket permission, go for it.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Cool. That's very cool.
Yep. Being able to get the rights to do stuff is always difficult, and an author just saying, yeah, go ahead and do it is, I mean, it's no skin off his nose, really, because, I mean, he's made his money from a lot of his stories, and, you know, mm-hmm. reading to kids is, you know, who's going to argue with that?
Yep. I'm posting a couple of things here. Speaking of the unemployment numbers, there was this tweet that showed the unemployment chart from about the year 2000 from 2006 to the current day. This was posted on NPR's, on PBS's Twitter. And if you notice the gray section, that rise and then fall there, that's the 2008 financial crisis. So that's like, that high point is like the worst of the 2008 financial crisis. And then you look at the far right, and that's March 21st.
Yep. It is just a huge, massive vertical spike.
It just completely skews the entire rest of the chart. It makes the unemployment rate of the financial collapse look like a picnic in comparison.
Yeah.
They're talking about we might be looking at like a 30% unemployment rate. That's really not good. That's like, I don't know if that's better than the Great Depression or not. I know the Great Depression unemployment was pretty fucking historically high, but...
Well, you know what they say. If you like your employer-provided health insurance, you can keep it, right? Man, if only there was a political candidate that the establishment...
Holy shit. So the peak unemployment rate of the... Sorry to interrupt you. I just Googled this and I have the stat. The peak global unemployment rate of the Great Depression was 24.9%.
Cool. So
if we hit 30%, which is what a lot of economists are predicting, we'll have a higher unemployment rate than during the Great Depression.
The Great Motherfucking Depression. Two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Electric this is just boogaloo.
This is just so not good.
It's reality. It's bad.
It really is.
So as we continue on into our weird future, please try to be patient with each other. Try not to be dicks to each other. And let's just try to have each other's backs as best we can. Because, oof. Like, unfortunately, you can't count on the government at this time.
No.
Like,
because they're using it for fucking political maneuvering.
This is going to really show how useless our current system is. Woof. That's not a good note to end the episode on, but it's kind of where we're at, you know? It's like, just hang up, you know, have each other's backs as best you can. Mutual aid, talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends. Make sure you're keeping up with people, because, like, there's been a couple of friends that I know that have been having really hard times, and, like, finally getting holding them on Twitter and just talking with them for, like, half an hour was probably helpful to them, I hope. Just, like, asking how they're doing, you know, it's like, how's the dog? And stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because people get stuck in their own heads real easy, and, you know, we can't go hang out with each other in person, but at least a kind word online will really help.
You know, here's the one cool thing. I think this came out since our last episode. A woman online tweeted parody lyrics to Bare Naked Ladies 1 Week, and it was all relating to being quarantined and the coronavirus and all the things we should be doing for that and so forth. And then she put in the very last tweet, like, hey, if anyone out there wants to actually set this to music, go for it. I don't even care. And I added Pepper, and I was like, hey, dude, you should totally do this. And he was like, okay. So a couple days later, he actually put out a music video of it. And, like, he only slightly altered some of the words, but he put a little furry in there about Beast Stars. But it's a really, really good song parody of 1 Week. And apparently it is a famously difficult song to sing. And he pretty much nails it. So that's pretty cool. It was just random people online, you know, collaboration. So, yay. I'll see if I can find a link to the song. And I'll put it in the show notes. Oh, there we go.
Cool.
Boom. There we go.
Yay. I'll make sure to...
Danny Awesome, D-A-N-I Awesome, is the Twitter handle of the person who wrote the lyrics. And, of course, Pepper Coyote is Pepper.
Well, cool. So, I think we should probably wrap this up because I think Panther is very hungry and we need to do something for dinner. So, you can find the show on Patreon, patreon.com/southpawscast. Email us, southpawscast@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at Savern Drake.
You can find the show on Twitter at southpawscast.
Right.
You can find me on Twitter at fuzzwolf. I have a bunch of new distribution stuff I've added to For Planet recently, including Pervert, which is a really, really good comic from Image about a trans sex worker, drawn by Furry. It's a mainstream comic and on all Anthro cast, so it's basically a furry comic, but very relevant to our community. I also got one of the volumes of Interspecies Reviewers. We have volume 3 in stock, and I have all 5 volumes of Beastars in stock also. And as previously mentioned, you go to baddogbooks.com and you can save big on some furry ebooks.
And Shiva is free of social media.
Yeah.
Join the fan chat. You'll find me.
Yep.
Yep. That's honestly better than social media because it's occasional politics, but it is mostly furry porn streams and supporting each other, and that's nice.
Yep. I posted a really cute pic from, I think, Yildan here just now. So.
Cool.
Oh, God. What's the bunny's name? Oh, no. It's the bunny from Space Jam. I've forgotten her name.
Oh, Lola.
Lola, God, by yeah. Manica. Time is but a construct, names, my memories, I'm only going to live in this moment. What's going on? So on that note, good night.
And wash your hands.